Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to tonight's episode of Your Battle to Win. It is the purpose of faith, how to gain the faith to weather any storm. So, you know, obviously, I don't think I've weathered every storm. So, but the idea is we will discuss that type of faith that builds so that we can weather every storm. And then we'll go into more depth there. I have a friend out of Oregon. She's joining me as my guest and support because my son gave me a Jared last minute notice that he hasn't finished his project. He's in LA right now doing some of his music production. So we are going to take the show together. Jill, you want to introduce yourself to say hello?
Hi, everybody.
So Jill, and I have been friends for about 30 years. So we've gone through a lot of different things together. And she and I have done a lot of discussing on faith and, really from different perspectives. I mean, we've grown together over these years to an understanding of faith. She comes at it differently than I do. So she comes in from the more traditional faith movement perspective right now. We'll go kind of into that a little bit because there's some really good value in what's happening in this part of the body of Christ. And we'll talk a little bit about how the body works and then why there's these distinct differences. We think of faith, not only just different denominations, but then obviously other faiths too. So we'll kind of discuss how that all ties in and how for us to read and understand what faith means. So this is kind of impromptu for Jill, but I think that it's going to be a good experience for her. It's going to be a good experience for me, hopefully for everyone listening, because, you know, it'll be natural or maybe a little uncomfortable just because Jared brings his radio presence, you know, having had his radio broadcasting experience and everything. So just us not knowing how we're really going to flow, where Jared's really – he's experienced on producing that flow, or at least responding to the flow if I do it. So I want Jill to feel comfortable. She offers a lot, especially when we're discussing things. She just got off work, and so she's a little bit tired. And she definitely has strong opinions on faith, but she wants to kind of just be a support. So we'll see kind of where this floats. We'll see if she jumps in and takes over the show. Yeah, I'll just ask Jill from her perspective a little bit so you can get to know Jill a little bit about how she thinks and what her voice is. I was telling Jill that I approach it from the idea that obviously none of us think all alike and we all feel differently. I want to produce a show that people feel comfortable hearing from my perspective and Jared's perspective, which also differs. You know, everyone's perspective is different, but feels comfortable hearing our perspective and, you know, building upon their own perspective and being able to take and glean what we have to say. So with that, you know, Jill comes from, let her say, what is your definition of faith? What is your definition of faith? And you can kind of transition into what do you feel the purpose of faith is.
Well, my definition of faith would be I get my faith from the Word of God. And to start with faith, you don't need to know the whole Word of God. You just need to know a couple little things. And you work those and you learn more and then you keep working it and your faith builds. One thing I've learned that's really important is you don't give up. If you know for sure you're headed in the right direction, it doesn't matter how hard it gets. It doesn't matter how you feel. You just keep going. Because most of the time, right when you're about at your breakthrough, that's when it gets the hardest, and that's when you definitely don't want to quit.
Okay. So we'll go into a little bit later, like how do we know we're going in the right direction? But why don't you just say a little bit of what you feel the purpose of faith is?
The purpose of faith? The purpose of faith is, it's really everything. I'm not really sure how to answer. I'm sorry, Joni.
No, this is actually good. I mean, this is how Jared and I just wing it. It's really important, I feel, that when we talk about it, listen, you know, you're listening to Jill, and she actually has very strong opinions about faith, and she, you know, stands strong and is continuing to develop, and she listens to a lot of different people from their different perspectives. And yet you can see that she hasn't really thought about the defining it in terms of what the purpose of faith is, right? She has a very strong opinion. You know, we've talked opinions the last 3 weeks, so opinions are very good. They're very important. That's all we have is our opinion. And the more we align it with what truth is, then obviously the better it is, right? I mean, the opinion, it stands because it stands on truth. But it is that process of trying to determine what truth is and making sure we put our faith in the right thing, in the truth. But there's a purpose to faith. You know, we'll kind of discuss these different things because there's a lot of aspects to what it is, and we could probably speak for, you know, days upon days, you know, years upon years about really the depth of faith and developing it, and really the steps by steps that it takes to develop it, because it is a huge process. And we, you know, obviously in our current way of thinking or current education system, you know, we're not really supposed to talk about faith. We don't, it becomes very nebulous. But faith has a lot of purpose. You know, faith is really from Scripture, is the assurance of things hoped for, and it's evidence of things not seen. And so people think, oh, it's mystical or it's out there. You know, we really can't know it. You know, how can we have evidence of things we don't see, or how can there be assurance for the things that we hope for? So it takes a little bit of thought to really figure out what that means. And that faith actually has purpose. But so I'll try to, you know, again, shape it. I like to just, you know, Jared and I, when we go back and forth, just kind of like to shape it, because it's not one thing. You know, these are our opinions, and we have to come around it. We have to discuss it. We have to, you know, take a look at it from different perspectives. And then everyone hears it differently from their perspective and then builds upon it, right? So we keep moving a direction. And we keep honing in, like you're saying, just as long as we know we're at least pointed in the right direction for truth, we keep honing it to make sure, and we keep pressing in. So the purpose of faith is that, first of all, from the Scripture, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So that's how Scripture puts faith. Faith is all important, because without it, we don't please the one who made us. Well, why would that be important? I mean, so, you know, this is all about the purpose of faith, where I'm headed with this. But Joe, why would that matter? Like, why would it matter that, you know, that we please the Father? Why would He want us to please Him with faith? What's the purpose?
Sorry, I think there's a lot of reasons, but a lot of the reasons just comes back to He wants to bless us, and He wants to provide for us, and a lot of it just comes back, you know, for our benefit. Sometimes it looks like, you know, maybe He's being, you know, this way or that way, but when you look at it and it all comes to, He wants to bless us, because He loves us. We're His children.
Okay. Yeah, that's really cool. So there's this relationship thing that faith is. And really, when we as people have a relationship with one another, that if we're always confrontational, if we always are doubting each other, if we're always, you know, suspicious or skeptical, and we continue to be like that with people that we call friends, those friendships can't get very deep, right? They are based upon mm-hmm. beliefs. And so because everything's woven together the same way through His whole word, right? Everything's woven together so that there's reinforcements in different aspects so that we can get to know Him step by step or in different ways. We can see that that's the same with Him. We have to believe that He is. He is who He says He is, all the character, mm-hmm. everything about Him. And that comes by faith, right? We have to believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, so that there's actually this blessing, like you said, there are these rewards, diligently seeking what His opinion is, what is His character, what do we need to become? And then stemming from that, now, from that idea, for me at least, this is how I get to understand the purpose of faith. The purpose of faith really is to sink our teeth into what is true, what is real. That's the purpose of faith, for us to discover at such a depth, because we know that we know that we know who he is. But to get there, like you said, it just takes step by step. You know, there's some critical things that we have to start with, like definitions like this, but then we take the next step and we diligently seek him. And as we diligently seek him and we go through things, we get to begin to understand what his character is. But every step of that way is an unknown. It's something that we haven't developed yet. I mean, not the whole thing, but the purpose of it is that we are getting to know a creator that is perfect and holy and so much beyond where we are, that it takes faith of us changing from a perspective that we know in the natural. And, you know, we hear scriptures, right, about, you know, do not be of this world. We're in the world, but to not be of it. So we're taught a certain way that it can be defined as the world. And he's saying, you know, this is, we're not to be of it. We're supposed to be, you know, we learn as kids, take the high road. You know, don't be like that. Take the high road. You don't have to stoop down to that level of how that person's acting or treating you or behaving. So faith is taking those steps of diligently seeking the Creator's nature, the Creator himself, because as we step into those, that faith, that next step of diligently seeking him and believing that he is, that faith, right, that becomes the purpose, to know who the Creator is, because that allows us, like you said, to be blessed by this entire amazing, identification with, you know, holiness, with perfection. Even if we're not really fully capable of attaining to that or really even comprehending it, the blessing of it is huge, right? The blessing of that higher road, the feeling, the power of, like, not stooping down and being able to rise above and have courage, those are all those character traits, and they all bless us. So the purpose of faith becomes, like you said, this huge blessing of knowing who the nature of our Creator, and then being able to now use that. And then we'll go into how we actually end up using the faith and how that, you know, we can weather every storm because of it. But do you have something to add from all that I just said?
I don't. It's good, though.
Okay. It's understandable.
It's very good.
Okay. So then the idea that we're given, you know, in kind of a short amount of time, we established a foundation, a little foundation on what faith is and the purpose of it and everything. But let's kind of take into account some of how other people see things, right? So some people think of faith as being blind. Like, it's just trusting something that just doesn't exist or isn't there. You can't be certain of, like, you know, how can you figure out? How can you know that you're headed the right direction? Like you said, you have to know. As long as you know you're headed in the right direction, you're just going to have faith and plow through it. Well, for people that haven't studied the Word or that even have only studied parts of it or have studied it maybe a lot and have built a foundation of belief that, you know, oh, that kind of faith was for those people who lived back then. Now, how do we transition from a lot of things that we were taught when we were younger to where we are released from that and now can actually diligently seek him, like go beyond those confinements of thinking that faith is blind or mystical or unnecessary? I'm not sure how what I said came across, if that helps, but, like, what else could be said that could help somebody transition from not really understanding or even not thinking faith has any main place in our society?
Well, I think, Jenny, if we start small and, you know, after it becomes accomplished, then we can go a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. But I think the important thing is you don't need to know all this information or you don't need to start out huge, but if you can just start out with, you know, just a little bit. That's a good way to start, I think.
Okay, so what kind of little bit? So let's say I'm someone who say, who says, you know, oh, Christians just check their brain at the door. They're really dumb. You know, they just put faith into this God. They go over there singing hallelujah to, you know, to whom? You know, what is this faith for? Okay. So like, what kind of baby steps could somebody like that take?
I would just say take, you know, find a verse in the Bible, take one, and believe on that. And then your faith will grow and grow and grow.
Okay, so for somebody like me who started reading through the Bible from the beginning, okay, so I had, you know, before, this is pre-Jill, before I met you, right? I had faith when I was younger, but there was a time that I started doubting the Lord, and, you know, we can go into some of that maybe on a different show, just, you know, as things come out. But then when I firmly reestablished, no, actually during that period that I was questioning whether he existed or not, okay, I was like, okay, I should read through the Bible, kind of like what you said, right? So I went through, I started, well, what should I do? Well, I guess I should read through the whole thing. So I'm like, okay, I'll start at Genesis, right? But by the time I was in Deuteronomy, I'm like, this is really weird. Like, this is just really too much. Like, really? Like, why would he say all this? Or why would he do all this? So what? And I know people that, you know, say, okay, how can he say stone your kids? So you're not going to want to start, at, you know, for the rebellion, right? So if someone's going to pick up scripture, like what, like, okay, so that would that jarred my faith, right? That jarred any faith that I possibly had at that point in my desire to find out who he was. In fact, I didn't get through all of Deuteronomy. I'm like, can't do this. I'll have to figure out it a different way. I can't try to figure out what's going on from going reading through Genesis to now Deuteronomy. So I mean, what you're saying, I think I understand what you're saying, but let's try to say it in a way that maybe not if nobody's listening that has that kind of attitude or blind faith, perspective towards blind faith. Or they could be at a perspective like I was, you know, looking or whatever. How do we take somebody like that or one of our friends that are like that? And now how, why don't you kind of come at, like, you know, something that helps them, you know, because we have a lot of Christianese and we think of a lot of things in a certain way. And really because, you know, we're taught that, but we're not discipled well, right? We've talked a little bit about that, right, Jill? So we really haven't talked about the fact. I mean, we really haven't experienced that discipleship. And so nobody's discipled us in what faith is, like the depth. Like there was not, there, at least for me and by and large for most of us that I know, really haven't been discipled. So now when we go out to talk to people, we're all over the place, right? We're just all, we need to be saved. You know, we think like this is the gospel. This is all that I need to tell you. But it's just like there are too many people out there that are like, that doesn't do it for me. I need something else to start this faith walk. You know, I want to have faith. You know, really that has to be the first step, right? If someone has to have at least the desire to say, if God, you are real, you know, I want to know you. I want to have put my faith in you if you're perfect. So then maybe that becomes the starting point, right? It's like just being willing to say, hey, you know, I don't know. And that's all I know. I know for me, when I made that decision to be recommitted to the Lord, he, you know, not everyone has this experience, but I mean, I was at least talking with him. So I think for that reason, because I was praying and because I had a relationship when I was younger, he spoke to me, right? You know my story a little. So he spoke to me, but my only response that I could give him, he said, okay, now, Joni. He said, I want you now. And I'm like going, what? You know, in my mind, I'm just like, what? Is this an ultimatum? So I'm going through my head like, oh, no, I got to do this. I better do that. But, you know, he said he wanted me, right? And I'm like, oh, no, what does this mean, right? But my response was, okay, but I don't know how. And I don't think I can. Like, I don't think I can follow you. I can't give my life to you or all the things that I learned, right? But I said, okay, you change me then. So I'm like, okay, now what's going to happen now? But that's what it did. You know, what happened? He ended up taking a little mustard seed of faith and just saying, you know what, I can't do it, but you can. I said, okay, let's walk this through. So like you said, then it became a step by step by step. He'd just say things or leave me things. But you know what? He didn't really have me digging deep into Scripture. I did read the Scriptures, though, that week. I did read through at least, I went and I read all four Gospels all in one sitting, just trying to understand what was going on. You know, but so from what I just said, do you want to kind of maybe put together something that you perceive as a good starting point for somebody in terms of, like, if they wanted to figure out the value of faith?
Actually, I think what you said was really good. You know, God is always for us and never against us. So if we come to Him and we ask, you know, He's gonna work with us on it. And I think, like you said, just asking Him is the first step, really.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I watched. Did you see the movie Unbroken? The runner, the Olympic runner. Okay.
Oh,
so
I did a really long time ago.
Okay. Yeah. I did recently, so it was really, I can't sit down and really watch movies. I don't know why. I mean, I'm changing because that helped me change a lot. It's like, oh, you know, and plus it starts off all this, you know, suspense and, you know, he ends up, oh, it's not the very beginning, but for those who didn't see it, he was rebellious as a kid, and then he was a good runner, so he was basically coaxed into running and, you know, changing his life around, and then he wanted to go into the Air Force and be a pilot, but he went and he was flying, you could see from the beginning his parents were praying for him, and, you know, he was rebellious, and so he's on this plane, and it ends up being shot down. And it was miraculous, it appears, at least from how they portrayed it, right? And you can fill in if I'm missing things or I'm wrong. But he ends up being able to escape this thing, and now they're on a they get rescued, and they get put on, they're on like kind of a, I guess, an island or somewhere they were, where people were. And then they took an old plane that they shouldn't have taken, and went looking for some other people that had, you know, been lost at sea. Other people, I guess, probably Air Force people. So they're out there, and now the plane, they get shot down. And anyways, the long story is short. Is he ends up out there on the sea for 47 days and says, in there he cries out, you know, if you get me through this, you know, I will. What's the words he used? I will serve you, or I'll follow you. He had some. I wish I could remember the exact words. I don't know why I don't retrieve them right now. It's been a while, but so you watch that story, and this is a true story and miraculous story, and you watch what he had to go through step by step to acquire that faith. But it's amazing. And that faith, you know, is then passed on to many people who have watched the movie. And then, so I say this because I also have a friend's husband who would get very frustrated with God because he would continue to pray. And whenever he prayed, he didn't feel like God was ever answering him. So over the years, I've tried to understand that and reconcile, well, why wouldn't God answer him? Why wouldn't he make him feel satisfied with placing his faith in him? So I'm putting you on the spot, but what are some of your thoughts with that? Because you said God is always for us. I don't know that conclusion to the story because they ended up moving to Alaska. But, you know, without the conclusion, you know, then it's a mystery. And yeah, but do you have opinions for people who might be in that waiting stage where this one man was, you know, one for us who, you know, when we get answered by God, you know, it's like easy then, right? You march forward. I mean, it wasn't easy for Luis, and he was a prisoner of war for 2 years, growing and walking his beginning stages of his faith. But you just watch it, it's a marvel. And then But then what about my friend's husband, who's also was my friend? What about him? What God did not just come down, whoosh, and, you know, walk him through every step. He was very frustrated when I knew him, you know, before they moved. So what do you tell people who are going through that frustration? Like, I don't hear you. Why aren't you talking to me? Or why I don't understand these scriptures are not being clear to me. So for you, for us, you know, we've had our journey. It's not all been easy, right?
Mm-mm. But only, just don't quit. You just have to persevere. Even if you feel like God's being silent. Even if you feel like God's being silent, just persevere. That's what the whole faith thing is, right?
Okay, exactly. Okay, so there's purpose to faith. Let's move it to something that somebody could understand. Like maybe persevering with God is not something someone can understand, but they can. Most people can understand having to persevere in something in their life, right? In order to accomplish
mm-hmm.
something that they had to persevere, and not know what the end was going to be, or if there was ever going to, if anything that they were really working towards was ever going to happen. You know, I'm sure some people felt like that with their education, right? Some people have felt like that in their marriages. Some people have felt like that in sports, right? Or, you know, what are some other examples? Friendships?
Well, I think one thing that you're saying that really makes sense is if you put value on it, you're going to keep persevering, just like those other things that you mentioned.
Yes, that's very good. Okay, elaborate on that.
I think it's good the way it is. I don't want to mess it up. I like it simple. I mean, if you value it, you're going to persevere, right? If you value your job, you're going to persevere until you get a promotion. If you value your sport, you're going to persevere until you're better. If you value your marriage, you're going to persevere until you get through the hard times. So perseverance.
Okay, so excellent. So that's a
faith and patience. Faith and patience. Huh?
Okay. Good. No, keep going.
Faith and patience. The power twins, faith and patience. You have to be patient.
That's good. Okay.
Unfortunately, not everything's not instantaneous, and it would be good for us if it was.
Exactly. It would not be good
the
for us if everything
makes
was
us stronger.
Instantaneous.
Sorry.
Okay,
I'm sorry
good.
I interrupted.
Good. No. This is one of the things that Jared said. Like, at our first shows, we were, like, being too courteous to each other. We didn't interrupt each other enough. He goes, radio is all about everybody talking over everybody. I'm like, but, you know, the listener, we all can, right? We can listen to multiple things at once. So, and it makes it a little faster, right? It makes the show, the listening and everything go a little bit.
Right, now that I'm back here, I'm getting stuff. Okay, so we need perseverance for the next trial. You know, if God just gave us everything instantaneously, then where would the strength be? We need, you know, as we live, you know, we have different things that we need to go through. So we do need that perseverance with faith. But if we hang in there, you know, we will see it come to pass. But if you know that it's right, keep going no matter what, and you don't stop. And you'll know. If you know, you know, it's just something in there. Like, this is it. I'm not going to stop. And it's going to get harder right before
people.
It gets better.
You got to stop, though. We're going to interrupt you. She's
what?
Like, hey, I like this. When we have a conversation, I'll remember that. You'll just keep talking if I'm talking. No, I'm kidding. I know. I'm sorry. Keep talking.
Yeah, I think you're done.
I think the listeners are following me. Okay, so
no, but that's good. So, perseverance is gonna give us the strength that we need to get through the other things that we need to get through.
Okay, so why do we need God? If some person goes without God and they persevere through their work and they get promotions and they go all the way to the top and they or whatever they, you know, they end up having, you know, financial like abundant success and everything without God. Why do they need faith in God? What is faith for? They have faith, right? They have faith in themselves, or they have faith in the product, or they have faith in something that got them to a certain point. But okay, so you see there's purpose in faith by itself. What's the purpose of faith with God then?
Well, you really never know what life is going to throw at you. And you do need that relationship with God, because, you know, you don't know what your kids are going to go through, your spouse is going to go through. God's going to give you the insight of the things that you need for the people you love and even for yourself. And we wouldn't rely on somebody that's all-knowing to do the right thing.
Okay.
That's one reason.
So I think it becomes like one, I mean, maybe not the most important, because really the most important is because he's the creator and we really do want to, I mean, it all comes back, like you said, to what we value. So if we value the creator, if we value that he's made it this amazing thing, and people, there are people that really have a chip on their shoulder towards God and towards what they do have or what is going on in their life or in the world, right? So what value, there's like three different directions I want to go, but what value why would they want to put value in this God? They could work and have faith in themselves or the situation so that they can accomplish whatever they think is right. Why do they need to value God, especially if they have chips on their shoulder? I mean, all of us go through that chip on our shoulder times with God. Okay, so it's not just for the person who has that almost permanently. But let's talk about it from that permanent standpoint, because that will help, hopefully, all of us. What happens if someone doesn't value God? What would you say? What would you say, like, what's the purpose of faith? Because, you know, there's purpose. There's that purpose we went through. But what is the purpose now to go through how to gain, you know, the faith that can weather any storm? I mean, you alluded to something like that earlier, too, the perseverance and everything for the next thing. So, you know, I'm obviously leading you somewhere. So can you tie that in? Can you tie in the concept that perseverance and the gaining the ability to have faith to weather any storm and the value of God from maybe that blessing standpoint? Because there's more. People can't see it when they're just stuck in that worldly part. They can't see past into the spiritual part because they're not trained in it. Because the, you know, talks about us are being trained in righteousness, right? There's a huge training that goes on over years. And because, again, we're not discipled properly, I feel, but I'm not blaming anyone. I feel like it's just part of the progression of, you know, really the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. So we're going to get to the place where evangelism isn't so big as discipleship. Like that's really the commission, right? That's the sincerity, and it requires commitment and vulnerability. So we're not discipled to see things from this perspective, the training in righteousness and everything. But tie in the idea that, you know, someone maybe just from their own, like from a very small child, doesn't care about the big purpose. They care about, I want that toy, or I'm hungry, or I'm tired, or I'm cold, right? So from that perspective also, how do we help someone see the blessing and the value of gaining faith in our Creator, especially if they have a chip on their shoulder, or when we have a chip on our shoulder?
To see the value, okay, how you would do it is
Sorry,
well,
that's
okay.
How would you approach somebody? I mean, it was me, and I just told you, hey, I really am mad at God, and I don't see any value. I do not see any value in knowing this Creator, because why should I know Him? I'm doing fine with, and plus everything's a wreck around me anyway, and this whole world's falling apart. What's the value in knowing God? Why didn't He just clean it all up? What's this whole thing? Why, blah, 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 right? I'm mad,
mm-hmm.
and I can wear a bunch of words or whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, how would you?
Well, I might
if
say
really
that He gave us the authority
really
to clean it up.
Okay, go ahead. What?
He gave us the authority. I said I might come back and say He gave us the authority to clean
That's
it up,
what,
and then
I would
explain, you know, the fact that we are under the curse, but Jesus came to give us all that back. And that by knowing the Creator, we can be under the blessing, and that we would be blessed not just for ourselves, but to help other people also. And that once we do come into that relationship, you know, with God, that he does give us authority, and that we're the ones to clean up the mess, not just to point the finger at, you know, other people or this or that. And he also gives us all the resources too. You know, that's where the faith comes. But once you start walking in it and you start, you know, seeing the power and the resources, then you know, it builds your faith for more and more, and you know, and you get to do more and more and help more and more people.
Okay, because I don't have a big chip on my shoulder, that was easy for me to digest and say, awesome. Okay. But if I did have a big chip on my shoulder, convince me. Convince me that God cares. Convince me that really I have what kind of authority that's any different. Why? How is this faith in God giving me anything to make it any different? Like, what's this authority?
What would you say?
You
I
want to
hear your point.
Plus, I figured I was listening. I'm like, see, I told you, you'd take over the show. That was excellent, though. Okay, so from the standpoint that people are, you know, we, all of us, I'm not, you know, it's, I mean, I have a couple of people in mind when I'm saying people that have their chip on their shoulder and they really want nothing to do with God, you know, but I do believe, you know, that is part of being under the curse, right? Like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for people who are in that position of being that angry or that upset to want to admit that that's a curse. That, like you said, that's being under the curse, but we don't have to be under that curse anymore. So, you know, I like the way you said it. Because I just fed you this little bit, do you want to run with that? Is there more you want to say to the person that just is so mad and under the curse? That what would you say to help them feel like being softened, like maybe they want their soil to be able to have a seed planted in it and have it grow? Because really, isn't that what he says? It's like we have to have, like, the soil has to be prepared for the word. Like you said, just take a little bit of the word. Well, the soil has to be prepared. But if we're to disciple people, right, then what is our role in helping to make sure the soil is fertile before we plant stuff? What is it? How do we kind of till that hard ground up? What you said about, you know, we're not under the curse anymore. Can you break that down in a way that somebody who has no spiritual understanding and knowledge doesn't want it, or who thinks that they're highly spiritual but does not think that they're under a curse? Or, I mean, like, as many types of people as you want to grab in that kind of analogy, or even just a segment of it. Can you do that with the whole idea that we were under the curse before Jesus came to, you know, set us free from the curse, that captivity is really being captive to this place of hardness and, you know, and basically being deceived by these things that are false, right? That people then, because that's all they're in, their perspective is only in this false perspective, that's all they can see is truth. How do we help them to, I guess, be humble enough, really, or desiring, valuing enough that they would want to trust, you know, us or you, and then wanting to trust the Creator that really there is some answer for them? I mean, we know it's like full blown, come to the other side, right? But for when you were in it, why don't you go with that? You were in it. You were in it before, and you were in it as a believer. I don't know how much you want to say, but is there something that you can help transition somebody who, you know, because we all have people. So even if none of the listeners are in the situation of being, like, hardened like that, well, I shouldn't even say that. We're all hardened like that, especially because we all came out of the world. So is that's something we have to admit and see, just like the person who is closed off to receiving the payment for their sins, right? That they would even want to accept that God would do something like that, or there's some supernatural thing, right? But really, it's all the same. It's really just the same. It's just a different level, right, of hardness of the soil. And so how do we get the firmly packed no growing, nothing can grow in that soil. And then the hard pack stuff that surrounds some of our good stuff. How do we get that broken up?
Well, I'm going to say something that might not answer your question, but it might help, okay?
okay.
First, we want to pray. We want to pray for that soil.
Okay,
God's loosening that soil up. So that's a really important fact. And also, there's also the person that knows God can do it. Okay, there's the person that, like you said, the two people that you described, but there's also the person that knows God can do it and knows he's capable, but is frustrated because they feel like they can't do it as hard as they try, and even if they are trying not to do it and letting God do it. So there's that person too. I don't want to leave that person out because that's where I was more. I wasn't like, hardened towards God, but I was just like, God, I know you can do it, but there's something I'm doing wrong, obviously, because look at what's going on. And so I think a lot of people are in that place, have been in that place or are in that place. I'm not really sure why I said that, but I just don't want to leave those people out.
Very good.
Because there's hope. Yeah. There's hope,
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Go ahead. You go.
No. What you said is really important. So really, at some point, when somebody is that hard packed, somebody has to have faith for them. So even with Luis, when he was that hard packed, and he got to the place, like, the Lord just, this was obviously, his parents must have been praying for him, like, the whole time, right? So, and one of the other guys, the character at least, but I'm sure there were probably other people around that were praying for them, for him. So he gets to the place where he calls out. But it took somebody else's faith behind it, like you said, praying for him. I mean, I've heard just remarkable testimonies of people who had just so much hatred for God, but because of the faith of someone else, usually a parent or a family member, they softened. They couldn't even believe that they got themselves in a place that they were willing to, say that they had a need and that they would receive that provision for their sins, right? Their needs, their hardness, from the Lord, so or from the Father, right? So by having a son, pay for their sins, right? So, so the idea that I lost my train of thought. Help me out. so people's faith in the Creator, he answers it. We don't understand everything, especially at the beginning of how it works. But just like a baby, the baby never grows unless somebody cares for it. And somebody has faith for that baby to grow enough to care for them, at least whatever level of faith that they are willing to give. And the more faith they pour into that child, then the more that child develops fully and full of faith and ready to give for other people faith that other people can succeed, faith that other people can love or hope or achieve, especially to know the Creator, faith in Him. So there's always a need for somebody else to have faith. So what you said immediately to say, it might not answer my question, it fully answers, right? The first thing really does that someone has to pray. Prayer is an active place of faith. It's probably the most active place of faith.
Exactly.
More than our actions, because our actions are faith in ourselves. But
mm-hmm.
our prayers are our faith in the Lord, in the Father,
mm-hmm.
or,
mm-hmm.
in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
yeah,
if
definitely.
He softens the soil, he'll give you the words too.
Right. So just like you said,
because everybody
we have
really
authority.
Is different, and everybody you do need to approach, a kind of a different way. And God knows that, and that's why God will give you the words for each person. So to me,
yeah.
I mean, it's not really like I could be wrong, but it's not like a formula. but it's more like if that person's hard, you know, pray and then speak when God tells you to speak. And, you know, that was a really good point that you said somebody has to have faith and that we need to stand in faith for them. And that is love. Faith works by love. So that's really good. That was good.
Okay, so just listen to yourself, right? The listeners listen to Jill, her manner of humility, right? So one of the things that we, I believe, as the body of Christ, we don't do that well is have humility with people that are not believers. The ones that we do, oh my goodness, the ones that we really nurture and care for, they really come along, right? But the ones that we're like, nice and nurturing, and then they don't listen, then we start, rah! You know, like, what? You're not going to listen? You need Jesus, or whatever. You know, I mean, I'm kind of over-exaggerating. I mean, what I see on Facebook, I can't even believe the attitude. So to me, that is the attitude of a lot of believers. It's very negative view of how others don't know the Lord. But, I mean, really, we can't see past how long it's been since we, when we didn't know him. And what we're like, we can't have hope for all people, that they're just at that place where they, where we were when we weren't, right? When we weren't saved, when we weren't
saved. And what are we saying? These people are acting like they don't know God. Well, of course, you know, of course they're going to act like that because they don't, you know. So let's have some compassion,
but then,
right?
Then
is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
huh?
And then we have to ask them, yes, exactly what you said, and then we have to ask, well, then do these people that say those types of things actually have faith or know the Creator?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
another
I would say
thing
yes,
is,
but they
just, well,
let me just say,
I think,
they just have,
you know,
been disciples, but like, go ahead.
Well, I hope that I'm not speaking out of context here, but so what if this, okay, so there's a person that's totally rejected God, and the reason that we need to love them and have faith is because God loves them, and what if we're the only way that God can get through to them because they've rejected him, and so, you know, they're not going to listen to him, and so by us loving and us having faith, that's the only way that, you know, God can get through to it, and that's why it's so important because God loves them. And he really, you know, he wants them, and so he needs to use us.
Well, then how come he, why doesn't he just do it himself?
Well,
why do you
because
think he wants people to
we have a choice. We have a choice. And he will do everything, you know, he will do everything to love on that person, and he's going to use us because those people have already said, God, I don't want anything to do with you. And so he loves us, he loves them so much that he wants to use us to love on them and point them to him so that they'll, you know, open up to him.
Do you think he's going to do that for everybody?
Do I personally? Yes.
Okay.
Personally?
Well,
okay, that's just a person, that's an opinion. But you're looking for opinions,
yes.
Right? Yes, I do.
Yes. Okay, so explain that.
Do I think that he's going to do that for everybody? I do.
Yes.
I think that we need to be cautious not to shut that down, like you were saying, not to say, oh, you're acting like a person that doesn't know God, blah, 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 blah. because of course they're acting like that, right? And so what we need to do is just really pray and listen to God and do exactly what he says and love on him and have the faith for him. And that, you know, that's really loving on somebody.
Yeah. Okay, and so then, like, for me, what I'm saying, I'm seeing you say, and what my perspective is, like, to merge them, is the idea that he has all authority, the what we call the Great Commission, right, is all authority has been given to Jesus, right? So therefore, go and make disciples, right, of all nations. And so the idea is he has all authority, and so part of it is like, well, why doesn't he do it? But then he says, okay, I have all authority, but I'm giving you the commission. You go and make disciples, all right? So it's outlined firmly there that, you know, he can go and intervene, and he does, you know, but he's saying we're the ones to make the disciples. He's now given us authority, right? But the Guy Today's sermon at church. It was really cool because the idea that authority, well, the false teachers don't they reject authority. But what hit me when they were speaking, when the pastor was speaking, is that, oh my goodness, he's talking about the angels and the heavenlies and the authority in the heavenlies. Wasn't talking about authority here. So the false teachers are the ones who put authority in man and put authority in the state or in a government or in a or any institution that we're supposed to follow these authorities, but that's the false teaching. The authority is all authority is given to Jesus. It's not given to the devil, right? It's not given to Satan. So all authority has been given to Jesus. Now then he says, go, therefore, go and make disciples, which we still have to do. And so then the other part is that we have to really understand the authority structure. He says, don't go and rebuke demons, right, and Satan, because the Lord rebuke you. That's the authority. We have to understand we cannot reject his authority. We cannot reject the authority that's going on in the heavenlies. So that's where we have to, we will go, because that's where truth lies, right? And that's where we're going to win the battle, really, is in the heavenlies. That's the whole prayer thing. That's our understanding of where we're headed, the kingdom come, and the will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. You know, all of these things. So, of course, that takes faith. This is a spiritual matter, and it's supernatural. So I'm painting this big picture now, and we'll come back to one of the things has to be done is people have to see the big picture, but not everybody's prepared to. But with people that aren't prepared to, you still have to kind of give them the idea that there's more. It's not like you look at these pages in the Bible. It's not like this thing here is you're stuck in this. Oh, I have to read all of these things. It's oh my goodness, there's so much amazingness, right? That's how I know and how you speak. It's just like there's so much blessing, there's so much awesomeness, there's so much authority, there's so much that we can do. You know, there's so much, but then where does that come from? I mean, obviously I'm saying it comes from faith, right? Just not to put a huge pause if you didn't know where I was going with it. But that all took faith to get to the place to say, oh my goodness, we have authority. Why? Not because we have authority over man or other people. That's the false teaching. We have authority in the heavenlies over the spiritual battle so that it can be won. And that's why we're going to pray for it's about faith, but it's not about blind faith. It's about something very, very, concrete to those who have been trained, right? We talked about that training in righteousness. There's all discipline seems sorrowful in the moment, right? But in the end, it produces the peaceful fruit of right. But those who have been trained in it, it produces a peaceful fruit of righteousness. So the faith, to have faith is not blind. To have faith, like you said, takes perseverance because it's a discipline. To have faith, we are being trained by it. We are being trained by this faith. And it produces the peaceful fruit of righteousness. I mean, so, you know, we talk about all the stress that goes on. It's because we're not trained in the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Why? Because we haven't understood that all authority has been given to Jesus and that we're to go and make disciples. So we have to first, before we can go make disciples, we have to be trained, right? We have to be trained in the peaceful fruit. Well, we have to be trained in the discipline of our faith. Okay, and, you know, do you have something to elaborate on there?
I don't. Can I get off the subject a little bit?
Sure, go ahead.
For anybody that's maybe struggling with the word or reading the word or the promises of the word, the way God showed me, a few years back was that his word was like a treasure chest and every verse was a piece of gold and that I could spend it forever and ever and it would never run out. So,
cool.
Well, it just really helped me to see the value, you know. I guess God put it like kind of in shopping terms, like I could spend and spend and spend and never run out. It would still be super full. And so these verses, we can take them and we can spend them, sort of speak. You know, we can go, okay, God, your word says this. Okay, so I believe it, and we just spend it. You know what I'm saying?
So
is that good?
Excellent. So have you found that every verse that you didn't believe, later on you found out it was actually true?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
So did all the verses that you felt like you didn't believe before, did you find them to be true?
Well, I don't know that if I didn't believe them, but I just kind of like knew that they were there. And so I figured, oh, they automatically apply. But, you know, we do have to like take that verse, like we take that coin, and we do have to like have faith. And that's like the spending. Do you see what I'm saying? So if we have a verse,
right,
you know, like just
right,
a simple one about, you know, being saved, believing on Jesus. Okay. If we know it's in the Bible, oh, that's great. But what we have to do is we have to take it. And we have to, you know, believe it, and that's like having, you know, believing it's having faith, and then that's like the spending it, like the coin. Do you get it?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yes.
So
yes.
If we know it's in
yeah.
there, it's not really going to do us any good until we, you know, believe it, until we kind of like activate it. I know that sounds kind of out there, but we can't just say, oh, the Bible says this. We can say the Bible says this, and we have to believe it. And we have to use it, basically.
Right, because if you don't act upon it, did you ever really believe it?
Right.
You know,
and then
the
cool thing is, you know, you believe it, you act upon it, like you said, which is probably a better way. And then, you know, you have faith in it, and it comes to pass. And then the verse, you find a deeper meaning in the verse. And actually, the more you seek and the more you use it, the more treasure you do find, the more depth, the more,
right.
You know.
Well, I'm glad that you feel like you've always believed all the scriptures, because I certainly haven't. And it's always come back to bite me, the scriptures that I didn't believe. I mean, a lot of them I didn't just go like, and snuff my nose at them. It was just more like, I don't know, that's a hard one, you know, or like, I'm going to put that on the back burner. I'm going to shove this over in the corner because I can't accept that. That's just weird, you know, or that just doesn't make sense, or that seems so off. You know, why would he act, why would a perfect God act like that or say that or do that, right? But, you know, there's still ones that are there. They're there on that, you know, list of, like, I'm not sure I agree with these. But I cannot believe how many have come off the list. I'm like, oh my goodness, if I would have just listened or believed this, I wouldn't have gone through this many years of this. And I would have, oh my goodness, this means this. Like, even today was really cool because, I mean, actually a lot of things, for me, Facebook is the opportunity to grow. So opportunity for me to you know, understand the application of the word to all these real life things. So I'll put it, you know, there'll be something I repost and I'll put a scripture to it because I understand, like, oh my goodness, this ties in. And I had a friend go, how do you even feel that? That is just so amazing, you know, because there was a deer tangled all up that was so tangled in the barbed wire. And, you know, the one guy comes over with his cutting tool and, you know, at his potential peril, he's helping this deer to get, you know, untangled. And I just totally saw me and everybody else, you know, that's faith. That deer had to have so much tremendous faith. The deer was so much pain. So that could be the person with very, very hard soil. The thing was so wrapped up in the thing. There was no way the deer was going to get out himself. But when this person came, the deer realized it really had no choice. And it didn't move at all. It didn't move even an inch. And, you know, it looked quite dangerous. You know, obviously if the deer got upset or anything in that position. So he clips it all off, and the deer was like, you know, obviously elated because of what happened. So
so I related it to us and how much faith we need to have in the Lord when he's trying to help us get out of our situation. You know, we have to really just sit there and trust him. Trust him as he takes a snip and he asks us to do this thing. You know, be patient. You know, be kind. Love somebody. You know, don't retaliate. Don't feel like you have to run away from the problem. You know, don't hate on. Don't, you know, whatever it is, right? Or you need to this or whatever it happens to be. Snip, 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 right? There's a lot there for all over Facebook. You know, all and many opportunities to post scriptures and to relate and to grow and to help other people to see things too. So, but that's, like you said, it's like one time you see scripture here, it works here, and then you see, oh my goodness, it works this much bigger. It does this much more. So that's, I have family coming home right now. Yeah. You want to take some of that thought and move it somewhere?
Well, I think it's good what you said, you know, because I didn't mean to make it sound like I always, you know, like every verse I'm like, yeah, yeah, you know, but, you know, you do that subconsciously, or I do. I think everybody does. It's like, okay, this one we'll just put on the back burner because this one just seems a little bit, you know, difficult or out there or this or that. But as you pray about it, you know, and as the Lord works on you, then it does become one that you can use. But that was a good point. I like it.
So there's a purpose for faith, right? So we have about, definitely, I think about a half hour left on the show. And so I just kind of want to wind or make sure the points you want to have are in there. And now that I moved away from the computer, I want to get John on if he wants to be on, but I can't do it right now. So just on the concept of the purpose of faith, you want to kind of tie that in because we'll end up going over more of the gaining to help weather anything. Go ahead.
I'm good. I think I contributed everything that I probably feel like I can. You're doing good.
And so are you. So like I said, these discussions on faith could go on and on, and they ought to. I mean, we should really be discussing so that everyone's perspective can be put in there because mm-hmm. everyone has things and some of it gets stuffed away, right? Because they don't discuss it. But everyone has their faith stories, like, oh, my goodness, God did this, and I see this. And, you know, we need to be doing those types of things much more.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And that's how we build each other's faith. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and that things that we hadn't thought of, as well as things that we have to add to other people's understanding.
Right.
Because it makes it so that, yeah, it completes us and it helps complete somebody else.
Right, because by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? That's how we overcome.
Yes. Yes.
By the word of our testimony.
Say that again. Okay,
by the blood of the Lamb.
This is out of Revelation. We'll explain it a little for people who might not be familiar with the passage or where it is, they can find it, kind of thing.
So
it a little deeper.
I know it's in Revelation, but I don't know where.
No, that's okay.
I don't have my computer on. I'm on my phone. But
anyway,
no. But that's why it's important to give each other our testimonies because that builds each other's faith. So what you're saying is that it's important for us to say, "Oh, God did this, God did that, did this," because it does build each other's faith, and that's how we overcome.
Right.
So that was good.
And the purpose of the faith is again. Let's summarize. So what is the purpose? We talked about a lot. But we need to become disciplined, trained in the discipline, even though it seems sorrowful for a moment to have to, like, belabor things. You know, because we're not trained necessarily to be organized in how we think, and especially things that we haven't discussed in depth. So let's tie it back together again. Kind of covered a lot of ground. What is this faith, the purpose of faith? now that we've talked about all of this, I mean, this again, this is still just the sliver, but this is a good amount to chew on to really go in a direction to say, I mean, I hope we covered enough ground. I mean, I know we covered a lot of things, but can you maybe either add some more or tie it together from how you see it?
I wish I would have been writing
and
it all down.
I know. It's okay. I mean, I'll do what I can too if you don't have something that's coming to you right now.
Yeah, go for it.
And again, I would get John, but I moved. John, I might not be able to get John. I moved because family came, you know, in the room that was quiet before. So so I would like you to chime in on it, but and anybody else. I mean, obviously, probably not this week because I'm not by the computer now. But so I can't click in. But on the next show, you know, even from this one, or we might do a part two on the purpose of faith or the power of faith on where it goes. Talk a little bit about it now and the idea, right, that we need, you know, how do we gain the faith that that will weather any storm? Because that's really the purpose of our faith, right, is to know the one who created faith. And without it, it's impossible to please him. And the purpose is to know him, right? It's the purpose is to know that he is. I mean, it is tied in there. Without faith, it's impossible to please him because we must know that he is. And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I mean, that's just normal relationship. I mean, if I want to have a relationship with you, it only works if I know that you're Jill and that I'm not going to, like, go, pfft. You're not Jill. You're not this person that I've known for this many years. You're not. If I go around saying you're not about all the things that you are, you'd be like, really? You'd be like, you wouldn't want to hang out with me, right? You'd be like, who are you? Then that's what he says, right? He says, who are you? I never knew you. And we always wonder what that means. Well, it's just like, if we continue to say, well, you're not, then he's like, I don't know you. If you don't think that I am, if I don't think that you're the person that I met, you know, 30 years ago and that we've gone through all this together and that you have wisdom, like so much wisdom, and you study the word and you grow and you listen to all these different people and listen to the Holy Spirit as to how he's tying all this together, and that you continue to seek to know what his truth is above everything. Jesus is the way. You want to know the way, and you want to know the truth, and you want to know the life. You want to know what the life is that you want to seek and search for him with. If I said you weren't that you know, you're not a Christian, you're not very nice, you're not very wise, you know, you'd be like, huh? You don't know me, right? Or you might be humble and say yes, whatever, but you would be like, really? Really, Joni? Right? And so it's the same thing. I mean, it's really, we think it's all mystical or so far above us or so far away from us, but he's saying, you know what? Without faith, it's impossible to please me, and because you need to believe that I am all the things that I say that I am, that I love you this much, that I'll do all these things for you, that I'm just and holy and good. But if you don't believe those things, it's not going to please me, and that I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. So if I don't understand me as Joni, if I don't understand who he is, then I need to diligently seek him. Like, I don't understand. I don't know. It's that value, right? You have value to me, your opinion value to me, God, and I don't know, so I want to know. I'm going to diligently seek until I get an answer, until, like you said, to persevere. And then that whole idea that, you know, he rewards us. He so desires to reward us for diligently seeking. It's not like it's impossible to please him if we don't diligently seek him. He doesn't say that. He says, you must believe I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. Because he's always rewarding us for it. Because he so desires to bless us, like you said. He so desires to bless us. And then that's the, to me, the first purpose of faith. But all of that reward is are those coins, like you said. And now we have a reward that we're supposed to give away, we're supposed to spend. Now we have authority. We can go and make all these changes that we say, you know, oh, woe is us that, you know, this whole thing's such a wreck and that how did it get this bad? Well, because, like you said, we didn't use our authority. We didn't believe he was, here he is, and we didn't really diligently seek him. And it's time that we do. And we really need to go and make disciples. It's time for us to have faith, right, that pleases him, and faith that operates and loves and cares and believes and understands that we're not in a battle here against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. And now we're off into that spiritual thing, right? But, I mean, I'm not sure where all the listeners are, but, you know, I don't want to get too far into those things until we build into it. And, you know, I guess if people jump in at that time, then, you know, they might have to go back into archives. But the idea that we are, you know, the whole your battle to win, we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle, and we are given authority and we're given tools. But to gain them, the coins, the tools, we have to know the word, and then we have to understand who he is and the character that we are pursuing to take on, because we can't know him without actually becoming like him. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's very good.
So that's why we have to be, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to be kind to somebody, and kind no matter how hard it is, kind and kind as they're rude and they, you know, dog us out, or they say mean things, or they're inconsistent, or they're, you know, whatever it is, as that happens and we're patient and we're kind, and our kindness leads them to repentance. Whew. I mean, it's just amazing. I just told a story last night to a friend, right? And out of respect, won't say her name, but, and it has nothing to do with her, but I worked with, you know, some people up in Nevada, and one of the people who had the most authority and leadership in this organization or this group, he was very arrogant. So she and I were talking about it because she knew him, and I said, I have a story to tell you, you know, do you remember this person? And so I went over kind of what happened. I never thought I'd see him again, but I was patient and I was kind, and I spent like hours and hours boiling down my comment on a meetup thread to address all the ridiculousness of the arguing and the hate that was bantering to try to get points across. So, you know, no one answered it. I figured it had no value, but I mean, maybe I shouldn't say I figured it had no value. I was hoping, but I wasn't sure. Nobody answered, right? But I was very, very pensive to make it very pointed, and hopefully someone would look at it. Well, I think he did. One day I'll ask him. But we got all the way to the point, years and years of different things happening. We worked. I ended up moving into his same, like, basically area that he lived, and which is weird, right here in Arizona, almost the same, you know, really close to where he lives. Different legislative district, but very close. So we've worked on a lot of things together in the last 4 years, I guess it's been. So, you know, and I've prayed with him and I've done these things. Well, it's just amazing because he is so humble with me now, enough to say that, you know, he still has to deal with pride, but he's been working on it and all this stuff, just amazing things. And he says out of anybody that he trusts, from a spiritual standpoint, it is, you know, me. And so it's just like, oh my goodness, I've weathered so much, and it's been 8.5 years, almost 9 years of being patient from not ever thinking I'd see him, because I lived in Oregon, right, back then. And so, you know, I was just working for 3 months in Nevada to help with this. And for him, for the Lord to move me to Arizona where he is, and then to watch the humility change and the willingness to listen and to be prayed for and also pray with for other people and all this stuff. Problems and just everything that we've had to work through for things that we've worked with. So the thing is that I get to understand our Father more by this. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. and that so much glory, you know, goes to the Father because of who his character is. Well, I just put in a little bit of obedience, of faith, to write that little blurb and to be kind through all the backbiting and all the stuff that was flinging around, to just put little bits of faith, little bits of faith, to have now the glory. I get that glory. I mean, it's not that I ever thought that. I never thought it was possible. But I obeyed out of faith that I wasn't going to do any good to get mad at him. I knew if I went and did anything to try to do anything differently than to be as humble and as just, but as bold as I could be, then I wouldn't understand this aspect, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying. So the purpose of faith, the purpose of that story, is just, I don't know. I mean, I guess just because I just went through this, you know, the like the very big, he was just very like, let me say so much, and he was so humble. It was so amazing. He's like, oh my goodness, I see this, and I do this, and oh, you know, it was just amazing listening to him talk. I mean, he's just, and he's no small. Not only is he no small guy, but he is his sphere of influence is huge, and for him to be that humble with me was only because I obeyed the word, right? And so, the power of faith, that authority we have, but it's so different than the world. So it's the meek shall inherit the earth. We humble ourselves under his mighty hand, and he lifts us up. He gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. You know, all these scriptures are absolutely true. We don't understand them until we actually execute them, and then we actually know him, and we get to participate in something that is just beyond us. So the way that we gain the faith to weather any storm is, like you said, one step at a time. We have to master the storm we're in right now. We have to do that because we're in storms, right? So whatever storm we're in, we master that storm with the word, with faith, with persevering to continue that. So we will find, right? And like you said, that we diligently seek him, right, from that scripture. That we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So whatever storm we're going through is what we should actually focus on, the one that we value. Even if we're not sure we value the Lord as much as we need to or want to at some point, it's like we do value getting out of our storm. So he says, taste and see that I'm good. So the purpose of this faith is to have goodness. Like you said, he's for us and not against us. You know, he so loved us that he sent his only son, you know, that we wouldn't perish, that whosoever believes right in him will not perish, shall not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. And this is eternal life that we know the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent. And these are all scriptures, right? And so they take faith to believe them. But as we see the proving ground of it, you know, like you said, step by step by step, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, we are getting to know you. This is you. This is your love. This is your power. This is the authority that you've given us to overcome evil with good, to conquer these things. Right? I know you know all this. I'm just, yeah, now you go. You say something.
Well, I have a question that might be running through some people's mind. Why go through all this? Why not just live your life and then you're done? You know, why should you take the time to read the Bible and get to know your Creator? And sometimes it does seem like a lot of work, and sometimes it seems like it'd be easier, even if life wasn't, you know, as good, that maybe it might just be easier just to kind of toast and until you're done. so it's so, you know what I mean?
Right.
But
right.
The reason we don't give up.
I ask myself that sometimes. When we're in a storm, sometimes, yeah, that's a very legitimate question, whether you haven't started the faith walk or you're in the faith walk.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. And so let me ask you a question, Joni. Why don't you give up? I mean, why don't you give up? I know why I don't give up, but why don't you give up?
Well, Well, because sometimes I do get close to giving up because I just feel, because you know what? This faith journey, it doesn't necessarily, when, because he continues to reveal things that we need to work on, it doesn't necessarily, the things don't go away. You know, you keep going, oh, really, I'm really that messed up, I'm that imperfect. But we are. But to me, the reason I don't give up is because where else would I go? It's just like the disciples said. Said to Jesus, where else would we go? Where else would we go? I'm so stuck in all my mess. If I don't deal with this, where else would I go? What? To think that I can actually avoid it?
And it is rewarding. And also, we do help others along the way. And that's why we do it. Because our Father wants us to. And he loves those people that we're helping, right? By
yes.
going through this.
And he says that the reason why we suffer in 2 Corinthians is that we would know his comfort and that we would be able to comfort others with the same comfort that we've received. Because some people won't search and seek, but none of us did. At the beginning, we didn't know how to. And at some level, we have been discipled, either straight from the Holy Spirit or from the example of those around us, right? It's just not as thorough. And so, therefore, you know, we are missing out on a lot of components of discipling. But, you know, definitely, like you said, it's just rewarding. It becomes deeply satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And I think the most important thing, honestly, because everybody's going to go, you know, I'm just going to, like, okay, maybe we might have a day where I'm just going to coast this day. Or, you know, or like, oh, I just feel like giving up. You know, but the most important thing is when you fall, get back up and don't give up. And don't give up. And he's always there and he always loves us. And we just need to come back. And he's always for us, never against us, like I said. And we just need to keep going. And if we said that we didn't have, like, a day that we're just like, okay, I'm just going to try to make it through the day, I can't even think about this stuff, you know, I'm not saying that's the best, but if that happens, you know, we just keep going. No matter what, we keep going.
Right, because what else do we have? It's like some people going through some really very serious hardships, losing children, losing spouses, losing parents, you know, going through cancer, going through dialysis, you know, some serious, serious things. And so, you know, why do they go through these things and what is the Lord doing? I mean, we have 10 minutes or something like that maybe. What's the purpose? Because I think people struggle with that. Like, what's the purpose of why all these hardships? And if you don't have an answer just for the time, I'll go ahead and answer.
Okay. You know what? Because we might not have the same opinion on this. Why don't you go ahead and answer?
No, go right ahead. No, I think it's
okay,
always
I'm
going to
make
an answer,
and then you go. I honestly believe that a lot of this, you know, especially, you know, I'll just say right now I have back pain I'm dealing with, so I'm not saying that I'm like got it all figured out or anything. But I honestly believe that it's not the Lord's will for me to have back pain, and that I need to because the Bible says by His stripes we are healed, and it says by His stripes we were healed. In 2 Peter and Isaiah, I need to get my scripture references better. I apologize, but I really believe that. I really believe that as we seek Him, we're gonna figure all this out, and I do believe that. You know, that's where it comes from. It's nothing that he did. Okay, I don't believe that he's sitting there going, I think that this back pain is going to teach you something. I think it's something that I need to seek out and I need to find. Your turn.
I'm just wondering, I can't read what time it is because of the lighting. What time is it?
Oh, wait. Okay, it's 7:25. You got 5 more minutes.
Okay.
Go for it.
Because usually gives me, I think, a warning here and it didn't give me one. So because this is my area of specialty in terms of the back pain, you know, I have a little different view on it, and then that shapes my whole view on all of the different things. But we're similar in the idea that you know, he doesn't want us to have these things, but there, we reap what we sow, so there are consequences. For our, he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And so our lack of knowledge creates a lot of problems for us. But like you said, he's there to teach us something. It's not punitive. But there is, we reap negative things. But I think in our culture, we don't like the idea of punishment or the punitive, or there's a lot of people that don't like that. And I'm fine not using that word. I just know that, you know, he's not punitive in the sense that we're under condemnation. We have an justice requires us to be able to repent. Otherwise, what's the word justice mean? Justice would just mean punishment. If it was only because we do something wrong and we need to be punished for it. But justice means that, you know what, if you realize that what you're doing is wrong and you're going to turn from it, then we have grace and mercy and everything that allows us to be forgiven, and then things get better. Get better in our person, but when it comes to even the back pain, when you know you mentioned, and I just really believe, you know, we don't do enough motion. It could be work, it could be play, it could be anything, but we don't. If we're not using certain things, and we're sitting too much, or we're not engaging, I mean, there's a whole story behind that, and we will cover that in the show. But you know, then. If you don't go walk or work out, if he says that to you, especially if he says that to you, right, you know, then there's a repentance that takes place. And then there's deliverance that takes place. And he's already healed us, and we have to walk in the understanding of where that healing is. And there is understanding behind it. It's not just, and that's even the purpose of the show, is to realize that faith isn't just, God do it. It's that, like you said, he's given us authority to go and know and use wisdom. And there's a whole bunch of scriptures to apply. You know, strengthen your feeble hand, your hands. I'm messing the scripture up. Then your feeble knees, and then you know they won't be put out of joint. There's that scripture. So he's given us power to. And I have 90 seconds. It did give me that one. So 90 seconds left. In just the turnaround in quickly with somebody who has something severe that they're going through, it does boil down to getting to know him. We go through these things because he says that our momentary light afflictions are nothing in comparison to the eternal weight of glory that awaits us. So the purpose of all of this, even the hardship, is because there are things we need to learn. And there's ways to be delivered, and there are blessings to be had. But he's conquered death. And if death is part of the equation that happens, it's like he says, precious in his sight are the death of his godly ones. And that took me years to you know, grasp. So I don't expect it to happen on this show right now, but just putting it out there, that there's power there to weather every storm. And we'll just do a part two on this next week. And I just appreciate you, Jill, for being here and everybody who's listening. And then, you know, next week we'll put people on. If there's disagreements, please, everyone just chime in and we'll go ahead and air those things too. So we just thank you for coming in and listening to Your Battle to Win. Have a great week.